Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And welcome into the Thursday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser, intern Mark, here with you on this Thursday morning. We got a lot to get to on the program today. Titans are making moves left and right. We've got Ben McKee from GoVols 24/7 coming up at 6:30. Joe, because we're not going to have a ton of time to talk about it today, let me just go ahead and say, for all our listeners out there, we've made it. College football season, in my opinion, I guess it's already started last week, but it begins today. We got some games today. Week one coming up this weekend. We made it. It's college football season, baby. Congrats. And I could not be more fired up.
Congrats to us. Hey, you know, now that you mention it, what's the best game tonight? I'm kind of not ready for the games tonight, but I'm excited.
I don't think that there's great ones tonight.
No, nothing great, but there's like three or four, right, I think?
We have tonight Rutgers versus Howard.
Okay.
NC State, Western Carolina. Wake Forest, North Carolina, A&T. UCF plays tonight against New Hampshire. I would assume, I mean, there's quite a few games tonight.
The NC State game's interesting for the Vols fans who, you know, looking toward next week.
Here's, not bad, North Carolina, Minnesota.
Oh, yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
We'll take it.
I would say that that is probably the best one. North Carolina, Minnesota.
North Carolina, Minnesota. We'll take that. And then, like, yeah, again, NC State, you can get a look at Grayson McCall and NC State.
Here's another one. It's not bad. Depending on how deep into the weeds you want to go. Coastal Carolina, Jacksonville State.
Yeah,
not bad.
That's not bad either. Okay.
So, got a few tonight.
Nice. Congrats to us.
I will be scouting NC State.
Yeah.
That's what I'll be doing.
Yes. I mean, they're Grayson McCall, man. The guy's been a quarterback for a long time.
Yes.
He is still hanging around. Those guys can be dangerous.
So I just want to congratulate everyone. We've gotten there. College football season is upon us. We'll take your thoughts on our program all day long. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. A lot of moves around the entire league, but specifically with the Tennessee Titans. So let's just jump right into it. Hassan Haskins, as soon as I saw him get cut, I did think, I wonder if he ends up with the Harpster. And he did. He ends up with the Harpster out there with L.A. Not a huge surprise there. So, Hassan Haskins, no longer a member of the Tennessee Titans, nor is Elijah Molden, who was traded from the Titans to the Chargers yesterday. So, we're going to get more specifically into that one here in just a minute. Braden Narveson gets cut from the Titans, did not make it through to the practice squad, and is now a member of the Green Bay Packers. So, I guess that new, you know, we talk about in hockey, the road to Nashville goes through Milwaukee. I guess the road to Green Bay goes through Nashville now in the National Football League with Malik Willis, who looked very good in a Packers uniform practicing yesterday, by the way, and now Braden Narveson, the newest members of the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. Braden Narveson, I wondered if there was a team out there that was in a situation. I mean, look, I guess basically your Packers were not in a great backup QB situation and not in a great kicker situation, as we've learned. But that, of course, makes it very interesting moving forward. Did they just find a long-term excellent kicker in the league that the Titans could have had? The Titans let him go. I'd also love to know if, had Narveson not been picked up, would the Titans have stashed him away and used a practice squad spot to keep him around, keep him in the organization? You know, don't know, but now we're going to be able to watch him and compare and contrast. I mean, all these kickers that leave the Titans, they go on to other places. And, I mean, Cairo Santos is just, you know, the guy misses four field goals against Buffalo. Vrabel cuts him. Well, Ray Robb cuts him. And, boom, all of a sudden he can't miss. Who else have you got? Greg Joseph did some pretty good things elsewhere. Obviously, Suck Up.
I was about to say,
We reclaimed his game elsewhere. So, is Narveson going to be the latest as the Titans continue to – kind of go with veteran guys?
I mean, can't you see that week three game now of Malik Willis leading the Packers down the field to set up a game-winning field goal attempt from Braden Narveson in Nissan Stadium?
What?
It could
poetry.
Happen.
Poetry. What? Oh, man. That's just a That's a Hallmark card.
It is. It is. What do you make of the Elijah Molden deal? I got to say, I did not see that one coming. Elijah Molden to the Chargers. You know, obviously they've made a ton of moves at the safety spot, bringing in Quandre Diggs. Jamal Adams is in there. What do you make of the Molden move being traded from the Titans to the LA Chargers in exchange for a seventh round pick?
Yeah, that's not one. We've been kind of projecting some of these moves, you know, the Malik Willis, Packers, the Ernest Jones, but Molden was not one that I anticipated. And I'm a little surprised by that. I know that Justin Mello, who, friend of the show, gets a lot of this stuff, had a tweet about his unhappiness here. And, if you're Elijah Molden, I get it. You're a starter, and then all of a sudden here comes a safety. Well, you're still kind of a starter. Up, here comes another safety, and now you're bumped on the depth chart. From the Titans' perspective, though, I thought Molden was a good just chess piece if you get hurt. I mean, he has played corner. Obviously, they don't view him as a corner, but if you had to play him at nickel and move McCreary outside because you have injuries, then you could do it. So, to me, there's more value in that this year than the seventh-round pick, but I do take that tweet into account. I mean, it's also, being around Molden, it's kind of hard for me to buy that he's going to, throw up a huge stink about the bottom line is he hasn't been able to stay on the field. He's trying to.
What has Elijah Molden done to earn the right to where he's so mad that that's going to be some problem for the Titans moving forward?
And I don't know that that's. I haven't seen anybody say he has just been unbearable or whatever. It's just the fact that he's I don't blame him for being unhappy.
Sure,
But yeah, was it that forced them in any way, or is it just like, well, he's not going to play and do right by him, and we'll take a seventh round pick? I mean, I guess you could look around and say like the role I'm talking about. Well, you could also, throw Jamal Adams in there. I mean, they're going to have Trey Avery and Gabe Judy-Lally available at corner on the practice squad. So, and
then have to pour one out for Trey Avery. Great day on the program. He's still around.
That's right. He's still around. And look, the answer also could be, it's like in what order are things happening? Because the answer also might be, that safety that they picked up on waivers. Oh yeah, we definitely like him better than Elijah. So now he's totally expendable.
Yeah, could be. And maybe that's the way they view it. I just saw that yesterday and I was like, okay, you could make an argument that's your third safety right now. You've got Diggs, you've got Hooker. Like, if one of those guys goes down, Molden would be the guy on the field, right?
I think so.
So,
yeah, I would have kept
me,
him.
That weakens your team. Now, look, they've addressed the safety position, so maybe they feel great about it. I don't know. But I did not see that one coming when it came to possible trade chips yesterday, especially for seventh-round pick.
Right, and Chef Rand on the YouTube chat says Diggs is 10 times better. We're not comparing him to Diggs. We're like Robbie said, it's about depth. In this league, my goodness, if you've been watching the Titans the last few years, you understand that the twos and threes will come into play, right? And so, again, if the guy they picked up, they love him, they can plug him right in, and you have Jamal Adams. And so, even though we've talked extensively about Jamal Adams and coverage and how they're not friends, he could obviously be plugged in there, and maybe it's not that big of a difference between Molden and Adams. Now you had another guy. So,
Jamal Adams is not practicing right now, too. Yeah. So, I guess he's going to be available for week one, but you never know with that guy.
Right, and it's not like he was necessarily supposed to be on some, total shutdown plan, as far as I knew, this camp, but that's what it's been.
Yeah, it's a really interesting situation there. And when it comes to the Molden part of this, I look at their safety group right now. I do like Diggs. To Chef Rand's point on YouTube, I like Diggs. I think Diggs Hooker, if they can stay healthy, got a chance to be pretty good back there. So I like that. But I do have a question. Even with Molden. I think Molden would have been fine back there. Is he a big-time playmaker? Probably not. But I think he's at least played football. He's been back there. I know that for the most part, when he's been on the field for the Titans, it's been in the nickel role. So it is a little bit, you know, kind of a mystery as to what he's going to be back there at safety. But now, let's say, like, I mean, Hooker has had problems staying healthy here with this team. Diggs getting up there a little bit when it comes to NFL age. What happens if one of them goes down? Like, what do you do now if you're the Titans? And like I said, Jamal Adams isn't practicing. So he's been having health issues basically since 2020. So I guess I'm just a little bit worried about the depth in terms of, are they going to be able to stay healthy at that spot? Because they've got a lot of guys in that spot right now who have not stayed healthy the last few years.
Yeah. I mean, the entire secondary could be really good and way different. I know this tweet's making the rounds, and it's like a Bears kind of like fan account, like a Bears film study account, and it's like all these advanced stats of how bad the Titans, like the Bears are gonna eat. Look, the Titans did this and this and this in their secondary. It's like they have like nobody back from that. I mean, I guess they have McCreary and Hooker. But like, how would you compare? Like last year's secondary, also a different defense, different defensive coordinator, and actually two corners who can play and a safety too. You know, so that's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah.
But, yeah, well, for the Bears, I think they'll see them. But obviously, how is it going to be all year that they're going to have these guys? Are they going to have the secondary? If so, yeah, I like their chances, but there is a lot of injury history in there.
Kyle in Shelbyville says, I checked out our new safety yesterday, Woods. Really like his game. He's better than Molden. There you go.
Okay.
Well, if that's the case, then
did you get into Jared's film room?
Well, got to be careful going in there.
Is Jared's film room like the library, like a microfiche? Anybody can come in there and just like sit in the seat and, you know, learn things about football?
615-737-1025, our phone number. Titans making moves. Lots of moves going on around the NFL. We'll take your reaction to what was the initial 53-man roster. Now it's been shuffled a little bit, which we knew would happen. More of your thoughts on our phone and text lines, which, as always, are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Brad, you're in a nice cap situation. Might that tempt you to make one more big move if something nice presents itself, or will you lean towards fiscal responsibility to help you next year and keep you in good standing?
Yeah. No, I mean, we're going to always be fiscally responsible. I think if you look at last year, this time of year, and probably throughout most of the part of the year, we were in the top five in cap space throughout the year. And I mean, you have to leave yourself some operating costs, you know, just for injuries, you know, signing guys if you have to place guys on IR. So we're going to be responsible there. If opportunity presents itself that's too good for us to pass up, you know, we're definitely going to look at it. Definitely not opposed to doing that and making this team better. But just to go out and just spend money to spend it, we're never going to do that.
That was Rand Carthon yesterday. Capital J Journalism by Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com there.
Thank you for asking about the cap, PK. The real cap.
He said they're always going to be fiscally responsible, but did not totally shut down that another move could happen at some point.
Yeah, that's right.
Just got to leave the door open.
They've made some moves, man.
Yes, they have.
We'll see how they all work out, but you cannot say that they have been sitting on their hands this offseason.
No doubt about that. No doubt about it. Highlights for the practice squad. Mason Kinsey back on the practice squad, which has become an annual tradition at this point. Bryce Oliver, also at the wide receiver position on the practice squad. Jabari Small, former Vols running back on the practice squad. And we've already mentioned Trey Avery, Gabe Judy Lally, the Voldor, and Corey Levin, also on the practice squad as well. So some familiar names down there for the Titans on the practice squad.
Cole Spencer is a guy who I think is a Callahan project. Keep that name in mind, I think, in future years, at least as like a depth piece on the active roster potentially. So good for Jabari Small. Yeah, did you see the Kinsey?
Yeah.
Pretty fantastic tweet by Mason Kinsey of Mo, the bartender, throwing Barney. Throwing him out of the bar, but then all of a sudden he just ends up right behind him, still back in the bar.
Did not end up with the Detroit Lions.
Yeah. What did the Lions do?
Have they found wide receivers?
I honestly don't know. That's a good question. I mean, there were some pretty decent receivers. Like Noah Brown from the Texans.
Yeah.
Like, I think they gave up. I mean, it doesn't speak well of him that I think they like just lit $3 million on fire, but he's out. And I mean, that's to me, it seems like a guy who could help teams that are receiver hungry, but maybe not.
Chef Rand says DMR will beat out one of Chig or Wiley. I'm calling it. That guy's a gamer. It's from Chef Rand on YouTube, which we have not confirmed or denied is Rand Carthon in our YouTube chat.
It could be actually Rand.
I don't know.
It's possible.
I'm just saying we have not confirmed it. We have not denied it.
That's true. We don't know that it's not.
Yeah.
Well, that's a Jared take, Chef Rand. So if you're comfortable with that, you can let that stand. I don't know if you can delete takes out of YouTube. But no, honestly, that's not a – I mean, I think DMR could potentially have a role. Right now, I would slot him behind them. But, like, the practice squad, you know, when you look at everything now that they did the initial roster, you know, they made these moves, but also, like, the practice squad and how they've done it with the waivers, like, DMR is a – great example of a guy who like that actually could have been scooped up. It's the young guy like that, that the other teams who do a good job and are watching every shred of film, they all have to do that. Like you have to watch every shred of film. You know, I did a story a few years ago on like how they found Khalif Raymond. He had played like six snaps for the Giants in some preseason game, but they were like, hey, actually, I think there's something here. And they signed Khalif Raymond. And as we know, he's now the Lions' third receiver, but also he had a nice run here in Nashville. So they all watch every single movement of each other in the preseason games. Then they grab people, and it's the young player that has potential upside that you protect. And then like a Trey Avery, the Titans were not worried about Trey Avery, not to pick on Trey Avery, but they're not worried about Trey Avery getting scooped up. He's been in the league. People know what he is. And yeah, gay. And so he's on the practice squad. So like, but DMR, meanwhile, interesting on the tight end position, though, is that Nick Vinette, who we all thought was tight end three, is out.
Yep.
And he's a practice squad.
Right.
But still, like, he's not on the active roster with Odukoya is, and good for Odukoya.
Good for Odukoya. Another move made yesterday, and shout out to TD for being the first I saw to report this, but Rashad Weaver out with the Tennessee Titans. So we talked a lot about Weaver yesterday with Kuharski, about the camp that he had, and how, I mean, basically it felt like he was invisible. And I guess the Titans agreed because he is no longer on the team.
Is Brian Summers upset? I'd like to know after his three pressures in the preseason game.
Well, let us know, Brian.
I am surprised. I mean, I'm surprised that he's cut. I thought he'd be down the depth chart some, but they obviously feel – and they did, by the way. They made a waiver pickup there.
They did.
So, but Harrell's emergence, and look – And I give Mike Herndon some credit. Caleb Murphy.
Yeah.
Move past Rashad Weaver. So Caleb Murphy's that young guy who in the last year, it seems to me, has put on a decent amount of good weight to try to be able to play in this league. And I still don't think we're going to see him much on the field unless they have injury issues. But he has moved past Rashad Weaver. And, yeah, Rashad Weaver is kind of an example of what you see in camp. Does mean something, because it wasn't great. It was just sort of – he was just sort of there.
Well, just – I mean, think about that kind of, I guess, going from the Arden Key suspension, which was a suspension, by the way. You have to be able to – if you're appealing something, it is a suspension. So just continuing to throw that out there for the people who continue to talk about it.
Fake news. Fake news.
I mean, everybody assumed that. I remember, you know, we were on the practice field the day all that started to come out, and Rashad Weaver, very popular interviewee that day, because it felt like it was going to be his starting spot, right? Like it was, all right, well, Key's out, and it's going to be Landry on one side, Weaver on the other. And think about going from that day to where we are now and saying to us at that time, yeah, he's not going to be on the team. He's going to get cut.
Yeah.
Like it's pretty wild transformation of his kind of how he was viewed in the span of about 4 weeks.
Yeah. And the good thing for the Titans is, I mean, I think it is, yeah, obviously he has been underwhelming as a player and all that stuff, but he lost weight. He wanted that opportunity. I mean, it's not like he's just, you know, throwing his helmet out there not trying. I mean, I think the good news for the Titans is, I mean, he's been passed over by other guys. Not saying they're going to be great, but I don't think it's purely a case of just a guy completely, you know, cashing in his chips, you know? I mean, I think Harrell is a pretty good football player. And, you know, Murphy definitely Murphy missed a sack in the last game, but boy, it was, I mean, he had some juice coming off the edge. So,
he,
I mean,
they're
upgrading, and they're upgrading, and as Dustin and Hopkins will point out, they're basically purging the entire 20 and 21 draft classes now.
Yeah, for sure. Caleb Murphy clearly is gifted at getting after the passer. Now, we've always kind of wondered about the other parts of playing that position with him. Like, can he set the edge? How good is he in the run game? Is he kind of a one-trick pony when it comes to rushing the passer in the NFL? Because you can't really be that. Like, it's unless you're just elite at one skill, it's hard to do that in the NFL. So, I think he's clearly gotten better from last year to this year and left enough of an impression in camp where they feel good about it. And that's always the question. Like, how much of it is other guys improving, maybe Jalen Harrell taking them by surprise, and how much it is Rashad Weaver falling off as a player? I mean, the real answer is it's probably a combination of the two, but I would love to know kind of how they view that part of it.
Yeah, and scheme fit and stuff like that. But again, I mean, I thought it was a good move for him to lose the weight, and I thought he looked a little bit quicker. So to me, it was like, okay, I mean, with their situation, that'll certainly be enough for him to be in the rotation. So how much of him not making an impact is he doesn't fit? I don't know. Maybe losing the weight was a bad idea, you know. But I do think part of the answer is, I mean, Harrell is a good find. A seventh round, Harrell's a very good find. You've seen watched enough of him now where it's like, I mean, he's just a solid all-around football player. The Harpster develops good football
developer
players.
Talent.
Say whatever you want about him, but he develops good football players.
Rashad, we need you to go back to the Cracker Barrel, put weight back on. Come back in about 3 weeks. We'll see where you're at.
There you go.
Put about 10, 15 pounds back on.
Yeah, you could probably do that at Cracker Barrel in 3 days, right?
There's no probably. I could. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll have Ben McKee from GoVols 24/7 join us coming up next. The best and worst things in sports coming up at 645. So we'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keiser here with you on this Thursday morning. College football is back. It's a great day here on the program. And to help us talk about the Tennessee Volunteers, we go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Ben McKee from GoVols 24/7. Ben, good morning. How are we doing?
Good morning. Doing well. Appreciate you having me on.
Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, Ben. So I would assume, you know, the hope is that you're not finding out too much about Tennessee this weekend against Chattanooga, because probably not going to be very much of a close game. But I am interested to see, probably specifically starting off in the secondary, what that looks like. How big of a role does Boo Carter play? What does the star position look like? What's kind of the latest that you've heard on what we could see from Tennessee in the secondary in week one?
Yeah, I'll be watching that secondary just as closely as it sounds like you'll be watching it. Again, I don't know that we're going to learn a lot about Tennessee as a whole, but for an FCS opponent, I really do think that this Chattanooga team is going to be able to, I guess I can word it in the sense of give Tennessee as much of a challenge as they possibly can. I mean, I think this is a really good FCS team.
Did we lose Ben?
We might have lost Ben.
The fall, they have a receiver who gave Alabama some issues last year in Tuscaloosa. Now, I do believe that Chattanooga-Alabama game was the week before the Iron Bowl, so don't know how locked in Alabama was, but still they were able to make some plays. So for an FCS opponent, I do think that they'll be able to challenge Tennessee. And again, don't have any sweeping takeaways or judgments from this one, but I do think it'll be fair to assess them to a certain extent, as long as you're responsible with that assessment. And unfortunately for Tennessee, this is a game that you can lose more than you can win in terms of the public court of opinion, right? Like if you go out there and you play well and you have three interceptions, well, okay, you're supposed to do that against Tennessee Chattanooga. If you go out there and you play poorly, then the sky is going to be falling and Tennessee's going 8-4 and not even sniffing the playoffs, of course. But Ricky Gibson and Jermaine McCoy theoretically will be your starting corners. I say theoretically because Ricky Gibson the third was dealing with a hamstring injury the last couple of weeks of camp, so I don't know how available he will be. But there is a lot of confidence in that cornerback tandem when both are fully healthy. Ricky Gibson was making plays prior to the hamstring issue. Jermaine McCoy, his teammates and coaches have raved about his playmaking ability. One of his teammates last week, I believe it was Andre Turrentine, Tennessee safety, who will start at safety, mentioned that McCoy has been making plays on the practice field that he has not seen defensive backs make on the practice field. So they feel good about their corner tandem. Obviously, a lot of eyes on that star position. I think Boo Carter and Christian Harrison are probably going to get split the first team reps. They feel good about both of those guys heading into the opener, but certainly that job is open for grabs as they begin game action. And then at safety, it's expected to be Andre Turrentine and Will Brooks. And I think fair or foul, Tennessee fans are watching Will Brooks to see how he can stand up against competition like NC State and Oklahoma, given that he's a former walk-on.
Yeah, I was going to say, Ben, you mentioned the court of public opinion. I mean, that's where I immediately go is Will Brooks, you know. And it's a great story, but it's also, I think, I mean, in this coaching tenure, we've had like these veteran guys in the secondary who are solid guys and they trust them. But also, you're like, there's got to be a higher talent level if you want to, you know, take things to a higher level overall, right? I mean, that's in general, right? So I feel like Will Brooks is going to be almost like, you know, one mistake and it's going to be, the internet's going to be set on fire, which, you know, fair or not. Is there, after those guys, Turrentine and Brooks, like, who would be your third safety at this point?
Jacoby Thomas, the Middle Tennessee State transfer. And I do think that Jacoby has had a fine camp. I just think that, you know, Will Brooks is Jalen McCullough 2.0. Talk about the trust of the coaching staff. Will Brooks probably has as much trust as Jalen McCullough did, if not more. And I believe Jalen McCullough, nobody has started more games for Tennessee football, regardless of position, than Jalen McCullough. So Will Brooks, there's already a gnashing of teeth. Some fans are already irritated that a walk-on, I said former walk-on, I should not have said that. He is still currently a walk-on. And part of that is the NCAA stuff that they have had to deal with, and they still don't have their full allotment of scholarships to hand out, or else he would probably be on scholarship. There's a couple of guys on this roster like Gaston Moore and Deshaun Bishop as well. But Will Brooks, the coaches absolutely rave about him and say that he is another coach out there. They trust him to be where he is supposed to be, obviously, and get his teammates lined up. And he is coaching up his teammates on and off the field. They feel like he can make plays in space. We'll obviously see if that comes to fruition. That will ultimately determine whether he maintains that spot or whether they do try and slide Jacoby Thomas in there at some point. But he has the coaching staff's trust right now. And I do think the Will Brooks conversation. Will Brooks has earned that starting job at safety. There's no doubt about that. Like you said, it's a great story. But you can say that he has absolutely earned that job while also having the opinion that Tennessee should not be in a situation in year four to where they're having to start a walk-on at safety. Both of those things can be true, and that to me is kind of how I view the situation going into the season.
So, Ben, obviously on the offensive side, a lot of excitement about Nico at quarterback. I'm interested to see what sort of rotation develops at wide receiver. Heupel has been really talking up tight end with Holden Stays, Miles Kitzelman, Ethan Davis, and those three guys, and how this is a tight end room that they just really haven't had before under his tenure. What do you think Tennessee has with those three specifically in that tight end room?
Yeah, I think they have three different weapons. And I agree with Josh Heupel. And maybe I'm buying into what he and the other coaches are saying too much. And ultimately, the way that they play in games will determine whether that was false hope or not. But even in scrimmages this fall camp, All three of those tight ends made plays. Holden Stays and Ethan Davis, I think they're the better pass catchers or receiving threats. Miles Kitzelman, the Alabama transfer, is more of your all-around tight end, probably the best blocker of the three, and that's why you're going to see him on the field quite often. But he's also surprised Tennessee's coaching staff since he got here from Alabama with his ability to make plays in the passing game as well. So he's probably your best all-around tight end at the moment when you factor in the blocking aspect. But Ethan Davis and Holden Stays, especially Ethan Davis, his ceiling is absolutely tremendous, and he can play this game for a very, very long time. So I think that tight end room is going to be a huge weapon for Tennessee, and we all expect Nico to have a great year, but he is still a first-time starting quarterback at this level, and I think that tight end position is going to be a safety valve of sorts for Nico. I think they're going to be able to do a lot of different things with that position, and I would say that tight end position is – I mean, after the defensive line, probably the strongest unit on the team when you look at the amount of talent in that room and the amount of depth.
Wow. Yeah, I'm excited to watch. I have a feeling we're going to see Ethan Davis with some big chunk plays this year, even if it's not a steady diet of it. He's going to be fun to watch. So at receiver, Ben, do you buy that we're actually going to see more of a rotation, more depth utilized? And also on that note, is Brazel going to be, you know, is Brazel going to be a significant add this year?
To your first question, I reluctantly am buying into them playing more receivers. I think they're being genuine. I mean, that has been one of the talking points this camp, whether it be the receivers themselves or Kelsey Pope, the receivers coach, Josh Heupel, Joey Halsley. They've all been adamant that they're going to play more and rotate more and that they want to. But we'll see if they actually do that when the bullets are flying. I certainly think they have more depth and more receivers to play than they have had their first 3 years. I think they have more guys that they trust. So I think he's going to be a significant piece. I don't know that he's going to be, somebody that catches eight passes a game for a $150. I don't think he's going to put up Cedric Tillman type numbers. I think you're going to see more Javonte Payton type numbers. And what I mean when I say that is, if you remember back in, I guess that was year one under Josh Heupel, Javonte Payton, I think he had six or eight touchdowns somewhere in there first season. Right, but he only had like 16 catches on the season. So it was like an early first quarter, first half touchdown, and then you wouldn't hear from Javonte Payton the rest of the game. I'm not saying that Brazel is going to be to that extent to where he makes an early splash play and then you don't hear from him the rest of the game. I think he's more well-rounded than Javonte Payton. But I think in terms of the explosiveness and the splash plays, I think it's going to be similar in that regard. I think Brew McCoy and Squirrel White are going to be your go-to receivers in the slot and out on the perimeter. I think Brew McCoy is the one guy that has true number one receiver type potential. And then the slot receivers in this offense just feast overall. So I think Squirrel is going to get a lot of targets on top of him, obviously being a really good receiver. And then I think Brazel is going to fit in nicely and be able to provide more of that Javonte Payton role more consistently, provide those splash plays, consistently, and the defensive backs have raved about him as well throughout camp, and several have said that he is the toughest to defend just because of his size and his ability to run. And Ricky Gibson said that he's the one that he dislikes going up against the most, because you can be in perfect position as a defensive back, but because of Brazel's size and his body control at the point of the catch, high pointing the football, you can be in perfect position and not be able to swat the pass away. So I do think that Brazel is going to be a significant piece to this offense, but I also think that he's going to play off of Brew and Squirrel.
Well, Ben, we've made it. College football is here. Looking forward to getting things started this weekend. Appreciate so much you taking time to be with us today, and we'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Always enjoy joining y'all, and hope y'all are doing well, and hope y'all have a great weekend and enjoy some college football.
Thanks, brother. Heck you as yeah. Well. Appreciate it. Thanks, Ben McKee, our guest on Robbie and Rex Road from Go Vols 24/7. We'll take your reaction to what Ben had to say. We've got the best and worst things in sports coming up in the next segment as well. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
The best and worst of the sports week. Now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's time!
This is the worst.
You look like you're feeling sorry for yourself.
I believe in miracles. Yes!
He's one of one. He is him.
This is a Coke bottle. It's not a crystal ball.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Okay, let's go.
It is that time of the week. Time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road. Kick us off with your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Okay, so I'm doing one of those both, you know, the duality of sports. I'm going to do one thing that is both, okay? So, which kind of leaves some obvious low-hanging fruit for you guys if you'd like it.
Sure.
So I'm centering it on best and worst is the Connor Stallions documentary because, first of all, it absolutely represents the best of, like, what we were just talking about in this week. College football fans are absolutely insane. They are insane. And so, like, the Buckeye fan who appears in this doc, you haven't seen it yet.
I have not.
So, this dude's name is, like, Brohio, and he, like, appears in this doc in, like, you know, in, like, full mask. Like, he's some sort of, like, you know, terrorist talking to 60 Minutes, you know? I mean, it's amazing. Like, then the stuff that they went through to whatever to find out all this information on Connor Stallions and everything, the best is like just the absolute insanity. Like Michigan State and Ohio State fans are just on, and Michigan fans are in this constant just war on the internet. And it's like all the Michigan fans are like, you guys, this is so dumb. And then all the Michigan State and Ohio State fans are keep screenshotting all their the same people's tweets from like when Tressel got, cheater, you are a dirtball. You want anything you do, you should be out of this game. We do it with an integrity. You know, it's like just like constant. It's amazing. And also like best in that is, you know, I'm not a big like Dave Portnoy fan. He's a Michigan man who was in the doc. It's so awesome because at one point, you know, like Connor Stallions, I'm like, well, I don't think that I recall being at the Central Michigan. And Portnoy's like, oh, man, Connor told me he was at that game. So awesome. I love this dude. He totally sold him out in the dock. But also the worst is that, too, because it's like, I mean, again, Michigan Twitter is like, this doc exonerates everyone.
Yeah.
And then the Michigan State and Ohio State fans are like, this doc proves that they're total. It's like, look.
Whatever you believed heading into it,
yeah,
it's been reinforced.
He cheated. We all know he cheated, and that's obvious. But also, we don't know what Harbaugh knew. I mean, that's the thing, right? Like, I mean, Harbaugh gave him a game ball, but he was good at doing signs. You can steal signs.
Yeah, you can.
So, like, there's no conclusion, and yet everyone thinks they have a conclusion. And it does remind me a little bit of politics. I mean, it does. It reminds humans now are just very much like, you know what? Whatever I believe is true, I'm going to listen to you, and you tell me I'm right that it's true. The end. So that's my worst.
There you go. Nick Kieser, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
It's been a joy to see all of the Nashville Predators fans' reactions on Facebook, Twitter, wherever you are a fan and are sharing your thoughts at. It's been fun looking at that this week. But I think it honestly is a major positive. I think it's something that if you're a fan, you've got to go, all right, a clear direction. And if you didn't see it July 1st, which you should have if you missed it, but I clearly think that now that this is done, it's over, the drama is over. I personally think for the next few years, this is the best outcome for the team and the organization. So if you're not on board with that, I think it's a lot clearer now than it's ever been, quite frankly. So I think that's a major positive. And also the return was phenomenal. I mean, a first, a prospect, a goalie who could be serviceable at some point. If not, then that's okay. But, you know, whatever. Worst in sports for me. And just because, obviously, I go to the games, season ticket holder, but losing 8 in a row if you're a Nashville SC fan absolutely sucks. And the fact that BJ Callahan has started things out and lost 2 in a row, that sucks for him. So, you know, not much that he can do in this transition. But also on top of it, too, you have a new player throw out a slang word that has yet to be confirmed for what it was in the middle of the game, and so he's got some discipline coming his way. Not a good look for the team whatsoever, especially when you've lost eight in a row. So those are my best and worst things in sports.
There you go. My best thing, did you see the Nick Saban Verbo commercial that came out?
Yes.
It's pretty awesome.
It's pretty good.
I mean, look, the easy answer for my best thing would be thank God college football is back, and that's
I was leaving it for answer. You.
I mean, that's my best thing.
Yeah.
But I did see the Nick Saban Verbo commercial yesterday, and even though his acting remains questionable.
Because he's a little stiff.
There were some doozies with the Aflac commercials that he used to do that were just tough to watch. This one's a little bit better, and it's actually pretty funny. Like when he's in the hot tub.
Dad time.
And he's like, this is dad time. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
So good stuff from Nick Saban. It's good to see. Yeah, it's a new world we're living in. Saban lightening up a little bit. Belichick lightening up a little bit. By the way, apparently Belichick is going to be on with Peyton Manning every week on the Manning Cast, and they're coming out with a Friday show, like breaking down film of the Monday night matchup. Could be cool. So I'm looking forward to that. So Saban's Verbo commercial, my best thing in sports. The worst thing, your boy Dabo. Not taking calls anymore
thank
on his
you.
Coach call-in show.
Oh, thank you.
It's pretty soft. And look, you know, Dabo does some really stupid stuff, and I think that his approach on today's modern landscape of college football is probably not going to serve him well if there's not some adaptation that takes place as it relates to the transfer portal and all those things. I largely like him. Like, he's fine, but it's a little bit soft when it comes to – we all know why this is happening. There was the Tyler from Spartanburg call last year when they were like 4-4 or whatever it was.
By the way, there's like 9 of him on Vol calls when they're
yeah,
when they lose
to say,
a game.
I mean, go listen to some of these coaches' call-in shows. There are lunatics out there that call in to every major college football program around the country. So you had one call that made you lose your mind a little bit on the air. And now all of a sudden we're shutting everything down and we're going to pre-screen all the questions, no more calls, and you could text them in or email them. I mean, yeah. It's just so stupid and childish. You're getting paid $10 million a year. You can take some phone calls for 15 minutes or whatever it is on your radio show.
Incredibly weak. You know, I'm not going to lie and say that I like Dabo at all, but, you know, I'm not, like, necessarily rooting for him to just completely be sucked into the middle of the earth, but I feel like we are watching, like, a really bad end. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm happy to be wrong. But, man, there's a lot of signs that he just is not up
I'll put
for
it to you this
college
way.
Football anymore.
This is a really big year for him in terms of, like, I think just the overall trajectory of that program and the future of it. It's not, even though I know there's a 12-team playoff and they could lose by 65 points on Saturday and still not be out of it, not a great year for them to be playing Georgia. Like, they need a pretty smooth sailing year this year.
Yeah, I don't, you know, we've had some of these before. It would always be Alabama, right? It's like Alabama, oh, pretty good game against, like, Michigan.
Yeah.
I remember when you were at Louisville or whatever, and it's like, 49-3, okay, great.
The classic
I feel
one
like
was
it's
USC.
Possible. Yes.
USC
yes.
was, like, barking at them before the game, and then they got beat by approximately 50.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Yeah. So that might be coming. I don't know. That's a big – it is a big day.
Kirby's worried about his depth.
Well, I'm sure he is. It is a big day for them to earn some respect. As a team, they still have a lot of talent on
paper.
They do. But it's so weak that he's not taking calls. That's one of the greatest things about college football is these coaches show and calls and stuff.
Yeah.
Come on.
I mean, look, let's be real here. If Tennessee has a disappointing season, Vol calls could get a little interesting toward the end of the year. It got certainly interesting with Butch Jones at the end of that.
Well, Pruitt, too.
Pruitt, yeah.
Absolutely.
Gosh. Why in the world can't you beat Florida? What's going on?
No, I mean, like, can you imagine? I mean, that's and more for Tennessee than I don't know what it is at Clemson, you know. But, like, at Tennessee, it's an absolute tradition. You cannot mess with that. To me, no coach. And we'll see. I do worry that Heupel might be – I mean, it's where things are going. Again, it goes with the Deion thing. It's like, I just think I want, you know, conversations and stuff that are friendly to me.
Just shut up, go to Calhoun's, take your phone calls, and walk out. Exactly. That's all you got to do if you're hyped.
Get your jalapeno poppers and go home.
It's all good. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll get back into the Titans, the roster moves that have been made coming up next. A lot of your Titans questions to get to as well. We'll do that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.